Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, it's so good to see all of you on this 16th Sunday after Pentecost. And we want to welcome all of you to worship today. And we are so glad that we get to gather on this beautiful Sunday morning. I love the fall and the cooler weather and be able to come together as God's people and to worship and to sing and pray and hear God's word and to grow in our faith and our walk with the Lord. And a little bit later on, we're going to be asking that question, how often should I forgive? So as we begin today, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Let's join together there for our call to worship in our bulletin. God is our refuge and our strength. Therefore, we will not fear, though things change.
We are not lost, even though we wander.
God is our refuge and strength. Well, let's join together this morning, and you can turn to hymn number 43 if you wish, or it's on the PowerPoint. Praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin. Almighty God, maker of all, with joy we give thanks for all your goodness. We praise you for the love which has created and sustained us to this day, and for the gift of Christ, who brings us into covenant with you and with all your people of faith. Help us to treasure your gifts and to show our thankfulness by lives wholly given to your service. Amen. And you may be seated this morning.
Jesus.
they are heading down, I'm going to invite our kids to come forward this morning, if they would.
Sometimes our parents teach us, you got to say, I'm sorry.
Now, what if you're the one who your sister or brother, let's say an angel comes up to you and says, "I'm sorry." Does he do that very often?
He never does
it either. So see, it goes both ways, doesn't it? I just know how kids work, and because I've been there. Yes. But let's say he says he's sorry to you, and you have to say, "I accept your apology." Now, the question is would you do that? Let's say he took something of yours. And then mom goes, "Daniel Joe, you get in there and you tell your sister you're sorry." And so he comes in, he does what mom says, and he says, "Sorry." The question is, will you accept that? Will you accept it? Yeah, well, see, that's a thing. That's a battle. Sometimes we don't want to let go of when somebody apologizes to us, so we're on the other foot, aren't we? And it's important that we do that because we don't want to carry that around inside of us and be mad at my brother for the rest of the day. Now, sometimes we don't think about it quite like that, but if somebody really hurts us, sometimes it's hard to accept their apology, and because we're hurting inside. And that's hard, isn't it? To sometimes accept somebody's apology because we're hurting inside. But Jesus helps us to do that because he's with us every day. All right, you guys can go on downstairs. And we're going to go ahead and go to our time of prayer. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share with us this morning before we go to prayer. And then we will go to prayer. Somebody this morning, yes.
I heard that Trevor, after all of our prayers, he got a little bit stronger, and he's now on Facebook, which he wasn't able to do before. So I praise God for that.
Good, good. Somebody else. Somebody else. Joys or concerns today? Yes. Okay, so let's pray for Mary and for strength and healing for her. Yes, and that's not easy sometimes when you do that. I remember hearing stories my dad would tell about that. And yes, so not easy. Somebody else, joys or concerns, yes.
Prayers for my brother's family. He passed away last week.
Oh, sorry to hear about that. And what is the last name in the family? Ziegler, okay. So we want to remember the Ziegler family with the loss of that loved one. And somebody else. Somebody else. Anybody else this morning? Joys or concerns?
Betty Bear.
Yep, I got all those down, so I'll make comments about them in a minute. Anybody else?
Yeah. My husband.
John? What? Well, say that again.
He's going to see a vascular doctor.
Okay. So we want to remember John in our prayers and continue to lift him up. Anybody else then?
We got good news from Erin's appointment with about her knee. I know I probably said she hurt her knee again. And he said it's not torn this time. It's just... stretched,
yeah.
So she will be able to go to therapy, and she actually might be able to play soccer again if she takes care of it.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. But we're glad that it wasn't anything serious. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know. They want to keep going, and I understand that. Well, that's good news. I'm glad to hear, and we'll keep Erin in our prayers for healing for that. And want to just encourage you to continue praying. We prayed for Evan, I think, last week. And we're very thankful that the news that it wasn't as bad as we thought it was. And it's more of a bruising, isn't it?
Yes.
Up there on his shoulder area and everything. And so as soon as that starts to feel better, he can play again.
He's going to be released Tuesday to go back to football.
Okay. So, but let's just continue to pray for him. And I know we prayed for Chase last week. He had that little displaced fracture in his toe. Thursday, he played in the soccer game. I thought he was only going to play a half, and he ended up playing the whole game. But I only saw one time where he kicked the ball in a wrong way, and I saw him lifting his foot and saying, So I appreciate your continued prayers for that, for healing of that toe. Lucy Zirkler is a young little girl. She's probably not much older than the girls that were down here this morning. Friends of ours, the mom is friends with Jody, and she has some rare disease, and I can't even begin to say what it is. She was in the hospital for a week this past week. We saw it on Facebook, and we were really concerned, and I just really appreciate your prayers for her. I can't imagine she's much older than 8 or 9 or 10, probably somewhere in there, I'm assuming. Jody would know, but they're probably already on their way to a soccer game. So I appreciate your prayers for Lucy. And then Betty Bear is in the hospital with pneumonia, and appreciate your prayers for her. Roger said she's doing better and feeling better and acting better. But still, when pneumonia, kind of a little bit of that still hanging around, and that's not always good. And then for Bev, the good news on part of her report, but then there's another part that they were a little concerned about, and they're going to be keeping watch. Do you have any update on that?
I'm going to go tomorrow to try to see. They're talking maybe an autoimmune disease, so I don't know if it's lupus or fibromyalgia. I'm not sure.
Okay. So we want to just keep Bev in our prayers this morning also. Appreciate that. And thank you for your prayers for Jody's mom and dad. They've seemed to make the transition good into Story Point. You know how that's awfully hard at times. And continue to pray for Jody and her siblings. I know every time Jody goes over the house to do something and they're not there, she comes back crying. And it's just a very emotional time. And appreciate your prayers for all of them, too. Anybody else then, before we go to prayer? All right. Well, as some of these names pop into your mind, you can pray for them while she plays, and then I'll come and close us out then this morning. As we pause today, we're thankful for your grace and your love in our lives that you extend to us every day. We're thankful that as we gather together today, that we can not only sing, but we can also pray and bring our petitions before you. So we ask that you would minister and move and work in the lives of those that have been mentioned today and in the lives of those that just prayed a few moments ago as the congregation and the various ones prayed and lifted up needs and people and maybe personal things too, God, that you are the one that can make a way there. We pray for Mary, Lord, for strength and healing, this friend of Linda's, God, classmate. We ask for your touch and grace there. We pray for John, Lord, that you would just bring healing and strength for him. And as he goes to see this specialist, that there would be wisdom and guidance there. We pray for Erin, Lord, continued healing in her knee, Lord, and your touch there. Lord, we're thankful that it wasn't anything more serious. And we're also thankful that for Evan, it wasn't any more serious also. We just pray your continued healing and strength for him. And also for Chase, Lord, for healing and strength for him. And Lord, we lift up little Lucy to you today, God. And Lord, we just lift up and ask for healing and grace. Continue to give the doctors wisdom. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, for a little miracle for that young lady. God, that you would bring healing to her body. We lift up Betty to you, Lord, asking for healing of that pneumonia. Thank you already that she's feeling good and getting stronger after being on the antibiotic. And we just pray that that'll continue to happen. We lift up Bev to you, Lord, asking for your continued healing touch and blessing upon her. We're thankful for the one good part of the report. And Lord, as they seek other answers, we just pray for guidance and wisdom and healing and your grace there. And so we're thankful for that. Lord, we continue to lift up those on our monthly list that we pray for throughout the month, Lord. So many of them battling very serious illnesses. Lord, we just pray for your continued touch and healing and strength and faith and peace, Lord. So many of them need through these difficult times. And Lord, we're thankful today for that. We continue to pray for Jody's mom and dad, Bruce and Carol, and her siblings, Lord, for your continued strength and grace there. And Lord, we're so thankful for your presence with us today. We ask your blessing upon the rest of our time together as we worship, as we break the bread of your word. Lord, we ask that you would just meet needs. Lord, I pray for those that may have come in today that are in need of peace today. Maybe something that has happened or something going on in their lives or in their family's lives. And Lord, maybe they need peace today. We just pray for your peace, for your grace today, for each of their lives. And Lord, we lift up the Ziegler family, Lord, with the loss of that loved one, Lord. We just pray for your peace for that family today, for your comfort and your grace, Lord, that you administer to them in their time of need. And we're so thankful that no matter what we're facing, what we go through, that you are with us and that you love us and that you care more than sometimes we realize. And we're so grateful and thankful for all of these things as we ask them in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline
Thank you for joining with us in prayer today. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And thank you so much for your faithfulness. And we appreciate so much that that ministry and that gifting of giving that God blesses us with so that the furtherance of the kingdom work can go forth. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Join together there for our prayer of dedication. Grant us wisdom, O Lord, to use these gifts in the fulfillment of your mission in the world through Christ our Lord. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from our gospel lectionary reading this morning. Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to be reading verses 21 through 33 this morning. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Should I forgive as many as seven times?" Jesus said, "Not just seven times, but rather as many as 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, they brought him a servant who owed him 10,000 talents. Because the servant didn't have enough money to pay it back, the master declared that he should be sold along with his wife and children and everything he had, and that the proceeds should be used as payment. But the servant fell down, kneeled before him and said, 'Please be patient with me, and I'll pay you back.' The master had compassion on the servant, released him, and forgave the loan. When the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 coins. He grabbed him around the throat and said, 'Pay me back what you owe me.' Then his servant fell down and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I'll pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he threw him into prison until he paid his debt back. When his fellow servants saw what happened, they were deeply offended. They came and told their master all that happened. His master called the first servant in and said, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you appealed to me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?'" That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us. Amen and amen. Well, a little boy was in a relative of his wedding. As he was coming down the aisle, he would take two steps and stop and turn around and look at the crowd and go, "Roar." So this went on, step by step, turn around, roar, step by step, turn around and roar. Well, as you can imagine, the crowd was nearly in tears from laughing so hard. By the time he reached up to the altar area, when asked what he was doing, the child sniffed and he says, "I'm being the ring bearer." There you go. Isn't that a dad joke? I don't know. How often should I forgive? How often should I forgive? Well, we all know for the most part that Peter was the one out of all the disciples that often ended up sticking his foot into his mouth. And because Peter was pretty sure of himself most of the time. Peter was known for a certain amount of brashness and confidence, and this was often to his own embarrassment. Well, maybe that's why Peter is the patron saint of those of us born without a filter between our brains and our mouths. I don't know. How often should I forgive? As many as seven times? You know, if we're honest with ourselves, we probably ask the same question of others or ourselves when facing people or groups we have repeated or who have repeatedly hurt us in our lives at one time or another. And at the heart of our reading today, Jesus teaches us several things that I want us to focus on and see here this morning. The first thing I think Jesus is well aware of and understands, and that is forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is hard. Notice the story there between Peter and Jesus in that conversation. Here's what I want you to see. When we keep count of the wrongs, it usually means we are struggling with unforgiveness. Keep counting. Keep counting. What is up with that? Maybe she hurt me before. Or this is the third time he's hurt me now. You know, kind of a thing. And keeping count is not really practicing grace. And Jesus is trying to get us to see and getting Peter to see that forgiveness is about grace and extending grace. And in a little bit, in my second point, I'm going to talk to you about another aspect of why forgiveness is so important. But keeping count is not really practicing grace. If you think about it, it's kind of helping us to extend our patience somewhat. It's consigning our hurts to the archives of our brains or our spirit or our mind somewhere. You know, the whole thing is, well, if we just push it down, it'll be out of sight, out of mind, kind of a thing. But as we all know, that's not the way we work, do we? That's not the way we work inside, because usually when we keep pushing things down and the hurts and the pains, guess what? It eventually comes up and it's got to come out. And I think I understand Peter on this one. I really do. I understand a little bit of what he's doing. I've been there. I've been hurt by certain people. I've been hurt by certain people several times, and it's not always easy. And I have the tendency to take my mom's approach and just kind of shut down a little bit and close my mouth and bury it a little bit. But that has a way of coming back and getting us in various forms. You remember when we talked a little bit through the book of Proverbs, we talked a little bit about words and words that hurt us and what happens in our lives when that happens and how important it is to release those kind of things and let go of those kind of things. And sometimes we just have to voice it out. Whether it's going to talk to somebody or talking to a good friend about someone that's hurt us, to try to get it out. Because if not, it'll just set in there and stew or stagnate. How many of you have ever seen a pond? You know, we have a lot of things that in housing development now, we pour that, I don't know what it is. Somebody in here probably knows the exact thing. We pour those bags of stuff in the pond and make it nice and blue so it looks good and keeps the algae off. And then have you seen the pond that's the opposite? I remember going to this pond when I was a kid, teenager, and we would be fishing for bass in there. So, you know, bass fishing, you don't just throw it out there and let it set. You're constantly reeling and trying to get them to bite onto it and hook in. And boy, you would pull in the stuff on the top, the algae and everything else, the moss and all the stuff that just kind of sets on top there. And it can get frustrating. And sometimes that's the way it is when we allow something just to fester inside of us. We just start getting gooky, so to speak. I don't even know if that's a word or term or not. I might have just made that up. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? It just kind of eats at us and we can't sleep and everything else when it bothers us at times. But what's Peter trying to say? There's something still struggling going on there. And Jesus sees that. And then when we limit the number of times we forgive, it usually means we're struggling with them. So not only is he counting, but he's also trying to limit it. Well, seven times. That sounds like a good number. By the way, Jewish rabbis said three. So Peter probably felt, hey, I'm doing pretty good. I've increased it to seven. And Jesus comes along and he just does something different with it. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. What Peter's trying to limit forgiveness So he offers up the number seven. By the way, in the Bible, the number seven or seven is a number of completion. Perhaps Peter thought when he had reached that number, he had given that person every benefit of grace and everything, benefit of the doubt that he could, and his responsibility involving forgiving them was met, and he didn't have to do it anymore. You know, I do believe Peter was trying here. I mean, think about it for a minute. How many of us want to forgive after the second or third infraction, let alone the seventh? So, forgiveness is hard, isn't it? We've all been there. We know what it's like. We know what it's like to hang on to something for days, weeks. I can say, at least I believe so, I've never hung on to something for years. But I have maybe struggled for weeks at a time because I know what it'll do to me if I hang on to it. Forgiveness is hard. Second thing is forgiveness is unlimited. Now, this is where Jesus just turns everything upside down, which he has the tendency to do. So look at it there. Jesus blows Peter out of the water by suggesting we always forgive. We always forgive. Wait a minute, Jesus. What you talking about, Jesus? Remember that show when we were growing up? 77 times, that's a lot of forgiveness. And some manuscripts in the New Testament say 70 times 7. So if your English translation says 70 times 7, then you're looking at 490 times. The point is, it's not about how many times. The point is Jesus is saying we have to forgive people every time they ask for it. Now, listen to me. That doesn't mean we have to allow harm to continue. That doesn't mean we can't convey how we would like to be treated or even put healthy distance between us and somebody else because of whatever's going on. Forgiveness can have boundaries, but Jesus is saying we need to forgive. And I think what Jesus is getting at is this. Jesus is overturning the whole basis for unforgiveness. And this jumped out at me this week. I don't think I've ever seen it before in this passage until I was working on my sermon this week. And this really jumped out at me and hit me. So in the Old Testament, we learn that unforgiveness is rooted in revenge. Now, I know that's nothing new to us. We understand that. You know, this whole, have you ever had said it or heard somebody say, I'll show them. That's an issue of revenge. And that's usually the basis for unforgiveness in our lives. And 77 that Jesus brought up, 77 alludes to the problem of unlimited revenge in Genesis chapter 4. If you go back and read the story of God put a mark on Cain so that nobody would kill him after he killed his brother, and then Lamech comes along and says, well, if that's put on Cain, then maybe 77 should be put on me. And the idea there is squishing unlimited revenge, because God put that mark on Cain so that nobody would take revenge on him for killing his brother. And I think Jesus is saying we forgive others by repealing the law of revenge. Because oftentimes revenge is something hidden down in us, and that's why we don't want to forgive, because they hurt us bad. And if you've ever been hurt bad by somebody, you know what I'm saying this morning. We are, instead of practicing endless revenge, we are practicing endless forgiveness. Even when the debt seems impossible to forgive. Like when Jesus told that story about that ruler who forgave the debt of his servant some 10,000 talents. What's that mean? That is enough money in Jesus's day that they could have lived an entire life over and over and over and over again. One person, and I don't know if this is accurate, but they tried to compare it in comparison to today's dollars, and they said $2.5 billion. Now, again, the issue is not the amount of money. The issue is it's an infinite amount of debt beyond anyone's ability to pay back. Why? Why was that important? Jesus shared this because he wants us to forgive even in our minds when it seems impossible for us to forgive. Have you ever been there? Let me tell you, there's been occasions when I've had to say, God, please, you have to help me to let this go. You have to help me to forgive and let this go when it was hurting bad. And that's what I believe Jesus is trying to see, because forgiveness is not so much about them. Forgiveness is about us. And when we forgive, then we can heal, or at least start that healing process. And it sets us on the road to wholeness that God wants. It helps us to move on. It helps us to see others as worthy of grace, even if we aren't ready to be the ones to offer it at that moment. But by letting go, that's what begins to change things. And that's forgiveness unlimited. What is Jesus trying to paint here? Here's what I think he's trying to get us to see. That the kingdom and the way we live according to God's ways is all about immense and outlandish levels of love and forgiveness. When someone asks us to be forgiven, we show mercy. Don't be like the servant who was extended great grace and mercy and then went out and turned around and didn't show that grace and mercy to someone who owed him little compared to the unexorbitant amount. We should send forgiveness because we have allowed and received God's grace and forgiveness in our lives. And he's transformed us because of that. And we don't want to allow those kind of things to be barriers to what God began in our lives and what God continues to want to bring about in our lives. How often? Always. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a moment and share and extend the blessing of the Lord. If you want to shake a hand or two or say hi to somebody right close by, and then we'll close out with our chorus, Their Majesty, this morning. Start, that's fine. Majesty number one. You can follow along on the PowerPoint if you'd like to sing it with us. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority flows from His throne unto His own. His end of reign. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Oh, Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Let's sing it one more time. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, unto His own, His anthem's ring. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Oh, Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Well, let's join together for our benediction. God's blessing is with us wherever we go.
We are witnesses of God's blessing every day.
May the Lord keep and or bless and keep us, smile upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord show us favor and grant us peace now and always. Amen.